Thanks to all of you for being with us. Write down our toll-free number. It's 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. Hannity in Nashville tonight with the governors, Ron DeSantis, Kristi Noem, Bill Lee, Chris Sununu, Kim Reynolds, Doug Ducey, a few others. Anyway, we'll have more on that in just a little bit here. I'll tell you, there's such a difference, such a distinction between red states and blue states. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, we got a lot of ground to get to today. We're also going to do a deep dive into this whole, the origins of the coronavirus. There's no way it didn't come from this lab. None whatsoever. And President Sippy Cup, you know, doesn't seem to really want to get to the bottom of it. And only because of pressure that people like us have been putting on the White House. Oh, now Biden has said he's going to allow the intelligence to investigate. Yesterday they were saying, we're going to let the WHO do it. You know, the propaganda mouthpiece for China. They've been lying to us the whole time. Why are we even giving them a penny? Why do you trust them? It's unbelievable. We should be investigating what China did. Now, you know, remember, it was a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. Last year, that's all we heard. It's so frustrating that this is how corrupt the media in this country is. You know, look at the world has suffered so deeply. And a year ago, oh, God forbid, when you bring up the origins of the coronavirus being the Wuhan virology lab a year ago. You're a conspiracy theorist. No, Donald Trump was right. Secretary of State Pompeo was right. We were right to ask the questions at the time. Now we've got cell phone data showing a shutdown at the lab. Oh, in the fall of 2019, hospitalized lab workers, we're now finding out in November of 2019. We had reported at the time the silencing of journalists and doctors and whistleblowers. You know, we've always covered the real possibility and frankly, even likelihood that the Wuhan lab was involved in some capacity here. You know, so-called journalists, fact checkers. We were going through a lot of this yesterday. New York Times, quote, the lab has been the focus of unfounded conspiracy theories promoted by the Trump administration about the pandemic's origins. That's the New York Times. Maggie Haberman, now she goes on TV and she starts blaming Donald Trump for the fact that she and her newspaper and the rest of the mob, because it's mob thought with all these people in the media, got it wrong. Rather than taking the blame, fixing it, and saying, we were wrong, we got it wrong, we'll do better. Oh, that's so hard to do. You know, the Washington Post called it a conspiracy theory that was, quote, already debunked. Wow, not so debunked, is it? PolitiFact saying a debunked conspiracy theory. Fake news CNN called it a conspiracy theory that is almost certainly not true. National Propaganda Radio, you pay for this crap. You know, scientists had debunked the theory. AP referred to it as a myth that was surviving online despite the facts. Politico reporting the lab was the center of a Trump-driven conspiracy theory. MSDNC, they actually put on a doctor. There's no debate. It's like they say about, you know, climate change. No debate. There's no debate at all. There's plenty of debate. No debate whatsoever. The virus definitely did not come from a lab in Wuhan. Okay. What are they saying today? You know, then the fact checker. I always would say, who's going to fact check the so-called fact checker at the Washington Post, this idiot named Glenn Kessler? You know, I fear that he tweeted, Ted Cruz missed the scientific animation in the video that shows how it is virtually impossible for this virus to jump from the lab or the many interviews with actual scientists. We deal in facts and viewers can judge for themselves. Well, now he's out there tweeting, well, the timeline on how the Wuhan lab leak theory suddenly became credible. You just can't even make this up. And by the way, it's time for Fauci to go. I mean, Fauci said to Rand Paul, we'll get into this later, we have some medical doctors coming on that are actually on the front lines of COVID, have treated thousands of COVID patients that actually believe in therapeutics. You know, there's still, in New York, there's still states that say, yeah, you know, check your temperature and your oxygen levels, and if your temperature goes up, take Tylenol, and that's it. As if monoclonal cocktails were never invented and discovered, like Regeneron and Eli Lilly's version. Or, you know, you can't, oh, God forbid you ever mention ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Yeah, forget the fact that two so-called prestigious medical journals that said that it was dangerous, yeah, they had to actually take back that those studies. You know, now we have about 8 studies that show the opposite. Taken early, it's shown to be helpful. And when you have nothing and there's no risk, Dr. Daniel Wallace, Cedars-Sinai, what have you got to lose at that point? Unbelievable. I had a friend of mine whose 90-year-old dad survived this thing, and then he got it, and he'd never heard of Regeneron. I'm like, oh my gosh. Can't tell you how many people that I talk to. If you don't watch Fox or listen to talk radio, the level of the lack of knowledge, let me put it this way, it takes my breath away. I know we live, eat, breathe, and sleep this. I'm not saying you have to be a lunatic like we are, but not to hear about that. I mean, who was I talking? I think it was Dr. Oz. You know, recently, just a personal conversation. It's like it's the most underutilized therapeutic out there. Unbelievable. Anyway, you know, but then to be lied to about the origins of this, why are they defending China? Why is Biden yesterday saying to the administration, we're going to let the professionals at the World Health Organization, it's humiliating how weak they are. You know, we pointed out the Chinese travel ban. Joe never said their travel ban was, you know, xenophobic hysteria. It was only Trump's travel ban. By the way, only 10 days after the first identified case of coronavirus. Sure, Trump will get credit for that. Credit for the therapeutics. Credit for 3 vaccines. No, never. Now, what is he getting? He's getting a grand jury in New York to go back 30 years into his taxes in the hopes that and trying to get people to flip on Trump. I mean, we've now criminalized political differences in this country. We've now criminalized it. And we are now, I can't say with confidence anymore that we have equal application of our laws because I don't believe it's true. I never thought those words would ever come out of my mouth. I never thought that we wouldn't have equal justice either under the law. Never thought I'd say that either, but it's obvious. You know, we've one set of state. Look at the Roger Stone case. Okay, what was his process crime? It was lying. What did the Horowitz report say? Lying to Congress. You know, there were 2 referrals in there specifically for lying to Congress. Premeditated fraud, FISA court, nothing. You're conservative, you're Republican, you're a controversial figure. You know, 28 guys in tactical gear, frogmen, CNN cameras, pre-dawn raid, guns drawn in your face for lying to Congress. It's insane. And it's getting worse every day. And anyway, so, you know, the mob and the media, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, I guess now they're all looking pretty stupid. But now Maggie Haberman leading the way. Well, it's Donald Trump's fault. That's why we got it wrong, because he said it. It's not our fault that, you know, he lied so much that we just assumed it was a lie. Okay, there's journalism for you. You know, every one of these media outlets, they're the ones that peddled the biggest lie of all. The Russia conspiracy, Trump-Russia conspiracy theory lies. The hoax. They spread that sucker for 3 long years. None of them have ever apologized, been held accountable, corrected the record. They just go move on to the next round of lies. Then there's one standard for quid pro quos with Donald Trump, but we'll ignore Joe Biden. You're not getting $1 billion unless you fire the prosecutor and investigating zero experience Hunter being paid millions. Never mind, is Joe going weak on China because, you know, is he hoping that Hunter gets another big $1.5 billion deal with the Bank of China, or another Chinese national shopping spree for him and his family? Is he going weak on Putin? You know, allowing Putin to build the pipeline, but denying American workers their high-paying career jobs and denying the country inexpensive energy, and that meaning that the cost of everything we use is going through the roof. But we'll give Putin, we'll let him build his pipeline. Okay, we'll give him a waiver. Wow, that is so screwed up. I can't even believe it. The times we live in. It was chilling. I saw this from Minnesota. Now, it was the one-year anniversary. We played the gunshots yesterday, what was happening in George Floyd Square. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the name. If you don't know the name Anaya Allen, you should. Precious, beautiful, six-year-old girl from Minneapolis. Shot fatally wounded last week as she was coming home from McDonald's. I'm sure she was getting a Happy Meal, something Linda needs to get Liam, but that's a different for a different day. Coming home from McDonald's with her mother, shot in the head, died last Wednesday. I've listed all the people that have been shot in New York and Chicago on TV all week, last weekend. Why don't we know their names? This is every weekend. Because you can't politicize it? I mean, it just, it should break everybody's heart. Portland, I mean, look at this. You know, there's a riot on the anniversary of George Floyd's death. Windows smashed. Arrests made. I mean, when you look at the numbers, it is breathtaking in terms of crime and policing in America going through the roof and how bad things are. Homicides up in Portland, a whopping 800% from last year's record. Up 50% in Atlanta. Up dramatically in New York, Chicago, all over the place. Minneapolis, you know, their crime surge. 5,422 violent incidents, including homicides, rapes, robberies, aggravated assaults. You got to be kidding me. From their record last year, up a whopping 21%. We're losing our country here. This is why we're doing Nashville tonight. Governor Abbott, we're going to defund Texas cities to defund the police. Similar things happening in other red states like Florida. Ron DeSantis giving bonuses to all law enforcement officers. All right, 800-941-SEAN. I'm going to talk more about what's going on tonight. Hannity in Nashville with the governors tonight, 9 Eastern Hannity. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. You know, Michael Goodwin, great writer, has a column out, America's public enemy number one, crime. What have I been saying? You know, for all the talk and all the appeal of Santa Claus socialism, you know, you think about it for a second. Okay, how they've done so far with keep your doctor plan, save money. How they've done all their promises, law and order, safety, security. How have they done with Social Security, Medicare? How they've done with the educational system? So we'll get into more of this. It's a disgrace. You know, I'm watching these videos of people now just jumping on police cars with officers inside. How could you not be disgusted by what's going on here? 120 plus cops killed in the line of duty. Does anyone know any of their names? Any of them? Portland police declared a riot again. Last night, fires set, windows smashed, arrests reported. Police say that people in a crowd chuck frozen water bottles, eggs at officers. Well, where are the bricks? They're usually there. Where are the bricks and the rocks and the bottles and the Molotov cocktails? It's endless rioting. Now in Portland, it's a city in mayhem. You know, cops vilified and defunded as Oregon, you know, is now Portland is crumbling. Want to live in Oregon? No, thanks. Want to live in Portland? I'll pass. Not much better in New York where they cut $1 billion. A vet who was harassed by Antifa over flags says riots have become part of Portland's landscape. How do we let this happen? And we make the distinction between the group Black Lives Matter and after what happened with George Floyd, people that said Black Lives Matter, very different. The group said pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. What do we want dead cops? When do we want them now? Well, Joe Biden's Secretary of State has authorized U.S. embassies worldwide to display BLM flags. Talking about that's the group. It's unbelievable. 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program? Don't forget, Hannity in Nashville today, tonight. You're going to want to watch with the nation's governors. We'll give you more details on the other side of this. We'll take a quick break, come back. We'll also get your calls in straight ahead. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. So as I've been saying, in Nashville tonight for a live town hall with the governors of some of the most successful states. And we've been chronicling the distinct differences. You got this mass migration out of big blue, dark blue states because of overtaxation, draconian shutdowns, bureaucratic red tape and nightmares, and just really is a total confiscation of wealth. I mean, if you think about it, if you can move to Texas from California, New York, or you can move to Florida from California, New York, or you can include New Jersey and you can include Illinois. Pennsylvania is not great, but not as bad. At least they were smart enough to have fracking in the state of Pennsylvania. Didn't give in to the new Green Deal madness. Although you do have a dumb governor, in my opinion. Another one that signed the executive order for nursing homes. And it's a mass migration. And people are saying, hell no. We just can't take it anymore. And they're going to these other states. Now, when you deal with issues of law and order and education and energy and taxes and bureaucratic red tape and immigration, et cetera, all these governors are they're just laboratories of what works. And what works is what we always talk about, and that's conservatism. I love how everybody's now catching on to the idea, well, what should the agenda be? Linda, what was it, 2014, we did our conservative agenda. What was it called again?
It was Conservative Solutions Caucus.
Conservative Solution Caucus. Hasn't really changed a whole lot.
No,
we haven't changed a whole lot. You know, it's simple. We believe in what? Basic liberty, freedom, capitalism, our Constitution, our First and Second Amendment. We believe in law and order. You got to have law and order if you want to pursue happiness, safety, and security for every American. It's not that complicated, but apparently it's complicated in Portland and in all these other states where all this violence is breaking out, as we've been discussing. And what else do we need? Low taxes, less bureaucratic red tape, free market health care solutions, which takes into account pre-existing conditions, school choice, secure borders, energy independence, constitutionalists on the bench, free and fair trade, and peace through strength. Am I missing anything? I don't think I'm missing anything. And, you know, there was a report in Politico that President Trump, along with Newt Gingrich and Lindsey Graham and Mark Meadows, we've been advocating this forever, you know, a contract with America. Those promises made and kept would solve all of the problems we have. Most of them. Can't stop the crazy political divide. It's not that complicated. Now, I got to give a shout out to a Democrat. I know some of you saying, hell has just frozen over. Hannity's going to praise a Democrat.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Come on. Are you junkie? Anyway. So Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont, he's fed up with progressive tax hikes. This guy is not a dummy. And so, for example, in Connecticut, capital gains are taxed as regular income with rates up to 6.99%, the 12th highest. Sales taxes, their rate is the 12th highest. Property tax rate is the 4th highest. Income tax rates vary from 3% to 6.99%. And the Tax Foundation rates Connecticut number 2 on state and local taxes, defined a state's tax burden paid by state's residents divided by the state's share of net national product. Now, different ranking methods give different results, but in this particular article that I saw about, I guess, Tyler Durden, do you know who he is? I don't know who he is. Anyway,
no,
different methods. No, it's actually, he makes a good point. Now, Lamont is saying enough is enough, no more taxes. Now, the fact that his state is right up at the top of California and New York, he should be instituting tax cuts and reducing the tax burden. So what he's saying is no more taxes. OK, Wall Street Journal reports Ned Lamont says no more taxes. From the Journal, it says Connecticut used to be a low tax haven and a quick ride to Manhattan, but decades of tax and spend policies have eroded its comparative advantage. And today the state taxes, capital gains, it goes over all the numbers that I just gave you. And the surcharge on single filers making more than 500 grand. This is double taxation atop of corporate taxation, which corporations pass on to individuals, we the people. And capital gains are not adjusted for inflation. The federal estate tax is 40%, then throw in Connecticut's estate tax at 12%. Now, it's not that Connecticut is a tax haven. It is not. You're not going to leave New York or New Jersey and think, oh, I'm saving money on my income taxes. But he's doing, it's sort of like a sleight of hand on his part, but it's not a dumb sleight of hand. And he's basically saying, no more taxes. And what he's doing is he's directly targeting the population of New York, New York City, New Jersey, and any place where people are living where they could move to Connecticut. Because it's a perception. The perception is, well, this guy's saying no new taxes. It's just not the same. Anyway, so you have people out there wanting, he said, no to new taxes. It's just an interesting comparison. Now, just the message of no new taxes works. It's not the reality of Connecticut, but the message actually works. And I don't care which state we're talking about here. All of these deep, dark blue states are unmitigated disasters. This is where we spend per capita more money per student than any country in the industrialized world with the worst results. This is where you pay the 10%, the 14%, the 13% state income taxes and the corporate taxes and the capital gains taxes as regular income. And they just hit you each way and sideways. And if you get an accountant, maybe call our friends at 1-800-ACCOUNTANT and just ask. And they'll give you a free consultation if you're in a small business or maybe, you know, a truck driver or an independent contractor of whatever kind in a construction. It doesn't matter. And you compare how much you will save in a state like Tennessee, the Carolinas, Florida, Texas. And it's this is real money now that we're talking about. It's not insignificant amounts of money. If you're getting taxed to death like New York taxes people to death, that's money otherwise that you could be putting away for your retirement. You could be giving to your kids, putting in a college fund, and living a better life with more security on your own. Let me give you some unsolicited advice. This is for everybody. Don't believe the government is going to do anything for you. Don't accept that your kids will get the education they need to compete on the world stage with China and India and Pakistan and other countries. Because, no, we're spending more money than all of them. And then we come in 37th to 40th, depending if we're talking about reading or math. I mean, I always talk about these 13 public high schools in Baltimore. Not a single kid proficient in reading and math. How do you fail on that spectacular level? Then you could dig just an inch below the surface, and what do you see? Okay, the unholy alliance with teachers' unions and the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party counts on the teachers' unions and their donations to get elected, and as a result, they get to write the policy on COVID-19 for the Biden administration. They're not putting children first. I mean, New York, every year, the New York Post chronicles how many teachers are getting paid full salaries, but yet they can't be in a classroom because of pending allegations against them, or that they discovered that they actually did this stuff and they still pay them. I mean, it's madness. California's Gavin Newsom. Look what Gavin Newsom is doing in the lead up to this recall election out there. 2/3 of Californians, you're all going to get a check just before the recall. How convenient. I how do you not view that as something of great value in the lead up to an election? I don't know. Where I grew up, I can come up with a lot of other words to describe what that is. And that includes illegal immigrants. State has a $75 billion budget surplus, and Joe Biden just sent him another $40 billion as part of the blue state bailout BS. It wasn't a COVID emergency relief, not at all. And look at California. For the first time in 171 years, you have an exodus from the it's a beautiful state. Linda doesn't want to ever, you don't want to step foot in this state again, do you?
Last time we talked. What, in New York or
God, no? In New York or in, well, you have to step foot in New York, unfortunately.
For work, yeah. But for California, I only went there the one or two times. The one time for you, for the Reagan Library.
Oh, wait a minute. And then the vacation from hell. I remember that.
What a nightmare. Well, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what those people
see. I learned my lesson.
Seen.
Never be nice to Linda.
Okay, first of all, that is not the story, and you know it. Second of all,
it really was the worst
trip ever. Worst trip.
Not my fault.
Anyways, that
California's Gavin Newsom ordered to pay $1.35 million in a settlement with an L.A. area church over his coronavirus restrictions. I mean, don't you find it a little unbelievable? You got the same thing going on. You got Gavin Newsom. How many times did he get caught violating his own draconian rules and regulations? Then you got, you know, Witless Whitmer. Now we got pictures of her in a bar without a mask, no social distancing. And then all of a sudden she gets caught. I'm going to lift the restrictions. And remember, her husband was, well, my wife's the governor. I should be able to take my boat out when nobody else in Michigan could take the boat out. Then there was the other lie about, I've never left the state because of COVID and the restrictions we put in place. And she lies through her teeth. Not only did she get caught going to Florida, but she got caught taking a private jet to Florida after she had denied ever leaving the state. And then, of course, you got the whole Andrew Cuomo mess. I mean, and what do most of these governors have in common? They're the same idiots that signed the same exact executive order mandating that nursing homes accept COVID patients. This is how dumb it is. Now, we've got Ron DeSantis tonight, Kristi Noem tonight, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, Chris Sununu, Governor great state of New Hampshire, Kim Reynolds is going to join us from Iowa, Doug Ducey. We're going to compare and contrast tonight the stark differences in the decision-making. You know, it's sort of like what I say, I just love the fact that I can't believe the fact that all of these states, the taxpayers that elect fiscally responsible politicians that have no state income tax, very low state income tax, overall low burden of taxation for citizens to live in the states, versus all these states that confiscate pretty much any spare change you have in your pocket to advance their new Green Deal agenda, their radical socialism and the corruption associated with it. And all these states now, you have responsible citizens that elect responsible politicians, state legislatures, senators, and governors that balance their budgets, live within their means, fund their pensions, and do everything right. And now we're taking money from people in red states, and we're now transferring it to fiscally irresponsible states like New York and California and New Jersey and Illinois. That is not fair for people that elect responsible politicians that don't squander with waste, fraud, and abuse their money. And now they're talking about they want Joe Biden to reinstate the tax breaks that are associated with state and local income tax that only benefits states that have high income tax rates, and it's a benefit that you're never going to get in Florida. Now, Donald Trump took that benefit away. And when he passed his tax plan, I then lost that deduction. I lost that deduction. And you know what? I said at the time, and I ended up paying more because I'm stupid enough, dumb enough, at least for now, not much longer, to live in New York State. I'm getting the hell out of here. We're all getting out of here. Everybody I know is leaving. Every smart person is leaving. If they can get out, they're finding a way out. And now if they allow that deduction again, I'm benefiting in a way I don't deserve. I don't even want it. Well, Hannity, then you can donate it. Well, they take too much of my money, so I'm not donating any money to any government. Good grief. This is such a cool song. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Simple Man. And that, of course, is your trigger that all things BillO'Reilly.com are coming up. All right, I have a couple of quick things I got to go over with you before we get into the meat and potatoes of what I want to discuss with you today. Is that all right with you, sir?
Are you paying for the meat and potatoes? Because I'll order a giant steak.
Every time we've ever gone out anywhere for breakfast, I pay. I mean, is that something new?
Well, you pay in advance, so I reach for my wallet and I'll go,
oh, okay. That's how I do it. Is that it?
Your listeners should know you're a generous guy, but if we're having meat and potatoes,
you're going to like what I have to say. I'm going to compliment you.
All right.
So now, for a conservative, and I've written 4 books, and I'm never writing another one because I hate it. It's too much work. O'Reilly likes doing this stuff. I hate it. Anyway, if you're a conservative, and all my books have reached number one, and all of Bill's books have reached number one, and he writes this Killing series, which is enormously popular. So his latest book, just out 2 weeks ago, is about killing the mob. It's called Killing the Mob. And for a conservative to get the number one slot on the New York Times list, you got to understand how it really works over there. You got to sell, I'd say, on average, at least 30,000 to 50,000 more books than the next book, or they're just going to give it to the other book just to screw a conservative. It's happened. We've chronicled this. We've discussed this at length. And you got 2 weeks in a row. That means you really did well with Killing the Mob. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Not only that, but I'm beating Oprah. I'm beating
amazing.
Oprah.
Bill O'Reilly is now head-to-head with Oprah?
So the New York Times had
what's her book?
Say, I don't know. Her some advice to, get a giant estate in Santa Barbara. I don't know. I don't know what she's doing. But the New York Times basically saying to its audience that this O'Reilly, this vulgarian, barbarian O'Reilly, just beat Oprah, who's going to be sainted, canonized, 10 minutes after she departs the earth. And so that's why it's stunning. But you're right.
See, my first book debuted number 2 on the New York Times list, but number 1 on the Wall Street Journal's list, Publishers Weekly. I mean, so you know it's a game. You know
it's
that they're messing with it. But all right, now I got one other quick point to go over with you, and then we'll get to some meat and potatoes that I'll pay for. Okay, you write this piece on BillO'Reilly.com.
Yeah.
And Linda prints it out and sends it to James. Anyway, and it starts too cool for school. Like millions of American parents, I'm paying major dollars to send the urchins to college.
Yeah.
You refer to your children as urchins.
They
what
are.
The hell is that?
So urchins are kids who run around unattended. And I attend to
Man,
that.
You must but be I, the. I listen, don't take this the wrong way. I know, I can't imagine you as a parent. You've got to be a pain in the ass.
Stop.
Oh, God.
Remember that show, Father Knows Best? Were you.
Right. Yeah, or Leave It to Beaver, right?
No. Beaver's father, he was a little, he had the jacket on at dinner. I don't do that. But Robert Young, Father Knows Best, I have the answers. You come to me, and I'll tell you how to solve the problem. But I am proud of my urchins. They both graduate this week.
I'm proud of my urchins.
Yeah.
They just graduated.
One is graduating from Fordham, the Jesuit school up there, which is under control. Campus is under control. The other from St. Mary's High School on Long Island, and he's got a scholarship, a Pell scholarship. So You know, can I do a real funny 30-second story, Hannity?
Sure.
Okay. So tonight's the senior prom. So I want to go and take pictures of my son at the senior prom. He goes, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't come. I said, why? Why? I paid your tuition for 4 years at that school. He goes, no, you embarrass me. I said, what? He goes, yeah. I said, give me one example of me embarrassing you. He can't. And I said, you see, you can't give me one. He goes, you're bombastic.
By the way, no wonder he got a college scholarship. He's smart as hell. You are bombastic. Don't take my advice on anything. What I've learned about, and this is the downside of being a public figure, is for your children, you cast a little shadow, and I don't like doing that to my kids. So I try to stay out of their way. And for example, I don't go to public events with them. I meet with them privately. And then, you know, I just, you know, in and out. I'm not going to spend, you know, 500 hours ruining their day. Because, listen, let's be honest, Bill. Older kids, they don't feel like hanging out with us.
No, I know. The
urchins, as you call them, would rather, be hanging out with their friends.
Listen, another quick story. So I go to my daughter, look, I'll take you and your roommate out for a graduation dinner in the Bronx.
And she said no, I bet.
No. She said okay. And I said, you picked a restaurant. I knew it was going to be the most expensive restaurant in the Bronx. You know how many urchins showed up there? 11. And she's telling me, all the kids hate you on the campus. 11 kids showed up.
And because they hate you doesn't mean they're not going to take a great dinner at an expensive restaurant,
that's
Bill.
Right. I said, are you all mercenaries or what? You know, we had a lot of laughs, but I wish I had your credit card. I would have put it on that.
They already have, you know. Listen, life is, now I'm going to take this in a whole different direction than I planned. So much for planning, right? But I will tell you, things are so different today. And I think everybody can relate to this. Because when I was a kid, I'd get off the school bus and I would throw my bag and I'd get on my bike and I was gone. I was expected to be home by dark, but I was gone. My parents had no clue where I was, who I was with, or what I was doing.
They didn't like you. They didn't like you. I talked to them.
They had no control over me, Bill. I was incorrigible.
Your father told me if I could have bought him a ticket to South Dakota on a bus, I would have. All right?
I don't mean to make you feel it. My father's died, in 1997, six months after I started at Fox.
Little mechanism where I can talk to the dead.
Oh, you talk to the dead? Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, you're a far better man than I'll ever be. But I'll say this.
Yeah.
And then I think, Bill, I was 12 years old. And every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, a place in West Hempstead you might even remember. It later became Bojangles. It was called the Norwood Inn. And every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, I was their dishwasher. And, you know, it's a busy pub, restaurant, bar. You know, I didn't finish till 2, sometimes 3 in the morning. I shouldn't admit this, but we usually get a St. Pauli girl or two. A buddy of mine was a busboy at the time. And then we'd fly home on our bicycles. My parents weren't waiting for me to come home. They didn't think twice about it. They knew I was working and making money.
Totally different world back then. America was a different country. Traditions and boundaries were respected in most areas. And now you got to watch those urchins all the time. I mean, my son, I told him tonight, I said, look, this is the outline. You're not going to be running around all night in your car because that's not happening. You know, and my family and your family were very similar. My parents had no idea where I was, and they said, look, if you want to go on vacation by yourself, you know, we'll give you a few bucks. I mean, I was so annoying.
Vacations never crossed my lips. I still don't even know what they are, to be very blunt. I'm a workaholic. I don't know about, did you have any incidents where, say, the police visited your house? Because I had a couple.
One time, an ice cream truck named Bungalow Bar came down the street. And
you were in a worse neighborhood than me. I had good humor.
Yeah, that was way too expensive. Bungalow Bar was 11.
Yeah, 25 cents for a toasted almond. Go ahead.
So one of my thug friends stops the Bungalow Bar, all right, and says, hey, I think you have a flat. This was a con. So the Bungalow Bar guy gets out. He looks at the thing. Meanwhile, we're all in the back, opening the bungalow bar freezer, grabbing the ice cream.
Oh,
that
man.
Got a little attention.
Yeah. So one day, you ever sketch? You know what sketching is?
No.
All right. Remember like when it would snow?
Yes.
And the streets were filled with snow? We used to hang onto the back of cars.
Oh.
I was one of those guys. And by the way, I was really good at it. We had so much fun doing it. Now, I know my kids aren't listening, so this is okay. But anyway, one day, one of the other urchins I was growing up with got caught and by the police and then told, ratted us all out.
The worst.
I know, right? You know, you're not supposed to rat on your friends.
No.
Anyway, so he knocks on the door. By the way, no, sketch. It's not with a... Linda's sending me this skateboard. No, that's not the sketching we did. We did it when it was snowy. Anyway, so all of a sudden, quintessential old Irish cop, part of our family. Mr. Hannity, your son, was just sketching on the back of the cars. And my father looks at him and he goes, thank you, officer. I promise you, I will handle this. Closes the door. Now, my father used to box. Boom! Totally, like, clocked me. But, I think back. Now, I never hit my kids, but my father would hit me with the belt. And now, looking back, guess what, Bill? I'm okay. I didn't get traumatized by it. I chose not to do it because you just take away the urchin's stuff, their PlayStation, their Xbox, their phones, and they'll capitulate in seconds. But, it just was a different way back then.
I don't think any child should be ever hit. And when I taught high school, I never laid hands on a kid.
I deserved it. I think you're wrong. I deserved it.
Yeah, but there are other ways, as you just pointed out, to get your point across without being violent. And each human being is different. If violence wreaked upon you, you don't know how the consequences are going to play out.
I don't want you to think my parents were violent.
No. Everybody did it. Every parent did it. That was the Depression, World War II era. They were brought up in that. Spare the rod, spoil the child. We all know that. It's a better system to raise kids today if you pay attention to the rhythm of the urchin. You've got to know who the child is. My parents didn't know who I was. And I'm not knocking them. They were great parents, all right? They provided. And that's all my parents wanted. That's all they wanted. They wanted me to be honest. If I lied, you know what happened, okay?
Oh,
if I stole anything, you know what happened. They wanted was for me, an Irish Catholic kid, to be honest. And I never forgot that.
I was an altar boy. Did you know that?
So was I, Hannity. A
really?
Deo Filiatific ad juventutem meam. How about that, huh? How about that?
Okay, that shows how much older you are than...
Yeah, I was doing Latin.
You were doing Latin. I was studying Latin at Pius, but I didn't even show up. They finally said, forget it. You don't need to meet the Latin requirement, which was pretty funny. But I'll tell you, in a way, though, I kind of feel sad. Now, listen, our kids have it easier in some ways, but in other ways, they don't, Bill.
No, in the peer pressure community, because of the social media, it's much more difficult. So if somebody gave you or me a hard time on the playground, one of us got knocked to the ground.
Yeah,
but now it's all behind the back. It's all of this garbage on the media, and you can get shredded, and you can get really, really hurt fast.
Hey, Bill, you're going to love this. There's half of Texas high school graduating class suspended over a prank. You know what the prank is? 40 seniors, it's called Comfort High School. I don't know what that was named after. They got 2 weeks suspensions. They did this practical joke. You know what they did? They put plastic forks on the football field while others entered the school after hours. Plastic forks on a football field? You're going to suspend kids for that? How stupid is that? How dumb are these people?
Listen, I'd rather have that than them teaching the critical race theory or whatever insane woke stuff is floating around. And that's why the kids have it really, really more difficult. I'm going to amend my statement. Because now they're barraged with this anti-American propaganda, this white people are bad stuff, and they can't escape it. And if they fight it, they get hammered. You and I can fight it because we have a constituency and we have a megaphone. But kids can't. And the kids walk in and they say, well, I'm not buying this, that America is evil. And all of a sudden they're ostracized and they're attacked.
You know, can you imagine, like, my kids see me train hard and fight and they've seen it and they're like blown away. And meanwhile, then I have to go tell them, don't ever raise your hands. If somebody hits you, just walk away and tell the authorities. I mean, okay. Do I really believe it?
Well,
no, but I have to do it that way. Just do what you have to do. All right, O'Reilly, congrats. Killing the Mob. All things O'Reilly, BillO'Reilly.com. It's on Amazon.com. It's in bookstores everywhere. 2 weeks in a row, number one on the New York Times list. And we will see you next week.
And thanks for all the help with the book, Hannity. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. No problem. It's a great book.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. I have been a combat fighter pilot for nearly 20 years and witnessed the heroic sacrifice required to keep America free. 13 years ago, God inspired me to start Folds of Honor. Our mission is unwavering. Honor the sacrifice by providing educational scholarships to the families of our fallen and disabled veterans. The need is great. In the wars of Iraq and Afghanistan, over 2 million military families have suffered death or permanent disability. 9 out of 10 receive no federal education assistance. Folds is proud to stand with these families and provide the life-changing gift of education. We have awarded nearly 28,000 scholarships since our inception. Please join our mission to educate America's most heroic families. Visit foldsofhonor.org and join our squadron with your $13 per month pledge. Freedom is not free. This is your call to duty.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. That's Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, friend of the program. 20 years, 2,800 hours of flight time, an F-16 fighter pilot, 3 combat tours in Iraq. And you know what? This has been an amazing cause that he's been involved in. And with Memorial Day coming on Monday, no better time than to remind people of the need that he said in that ad, rightly so, is great. You know, think of, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, 2 million military families are in need. And we welcome him back to the program, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. Sir, how are you?
Hey, Sean, blessed to be with you. Your good friend Urban Meyer says hello. So I'm sitting in the Jacksonville Jaguars parking lot and just left his office.
Tell him I want a signed Tim Tebow jersey and we'll auction it off. Did you, as a matter of fact, you ought to auction them off at your golf tournaments for Folds of Honor.
So Urban is all in. You know, he is a great wingman for Folds of Honor, and he's going to do awesome stuff here. And so I think you can probably get anything you want signed from anybody on that team.
You know, the funny thing is the number one selling NFL jersey by far right now is Tebow. And they go back to, you know, Tim Tebow's college days. I think he won the Heisman Trophy. Didn't he win the Heisman Trophy? I'm pretty sure he did. And everyone's, you know, we have all the critics out there. Tim Tebow's an amazing athlete, and it's going to be interesting to see if he can transition to be a tight end and make that happen. That's going to be fun to watch.
I was just looking at the roster board, and I think there are 90-plus guys on it, and they've got to cut it down to 48. So, Tim, in the spirit of Phil Mickelson, right, don't be a prisoner of common assumption. Don't let the world tell you what you can and can't do, and it'll be exciting. And we love him because he is a faith-forward kind of guy.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, I know what Memorial Day is for most people, right? Or Veterans Day is for most people. And it's not that we are unappreciative. Everybody's so busy. And they think, oh, finally a long weekend. Finally a little time. Finally maybe with some good weather. And barbecues and friends and family, especially, you know, things are opening up. In states that have been shut down to the ground, and everybody that I know is like, finally, I can live again. But you got to remember, freedom isn't free. The price has been steep. The heroism, the courage, the commitment of our military, you know, these things that we often take for granted, this is what Memorial Day is about, honoring those people that ensured all of our freedoms, freedoms for us and freedom for our children and our grandchildren and hopefully freedom forever.
Yeah, amen. You were preaching it, Sean, and specifically, you know, Folds is about taking care of the families, and they are the ones that are forgotten. I've got five daughters and a wife, and when I signed up for the military, they went along the ride with me. We've been blessed that, you know, that I am fine, but we know that is not always the case. And you mentioned we've got millions of dependents out there. And what we do is give them the opportunity to go to school. And we'll send 6,000 families to school this year. That's about $30 million out the door. And, you know, interesting, as we look at equality in this country, 41% of our recipients are minorities as well. And I'm a huge believer the only way we find equality is through the gift of education. And we created a special fundraising opportunity, Sean, just for guys like you. I know you're not playing as much golf now. But we've got Patriot Golf. You're spending too much time in your dojo, but you got to get out of your dojo this weekend and play the most heroic round of the year, Patriot Golf Day. So we'll literally have millions of golfers play this weekend, and you just jump on your smartphone and you make a $5 or $10 donation to Folds of Honor for the most heroic round of the year, and that will equate to millions raised. To send these spouses and kids to school that have, as your point, sacrificed so much. And, man, by all means, crack your Budweiser this weekend. Go round up at.
What do you mean Budweiser singular? How about Budweisers?
I
mean, seriously?
I love it.
Anyway, so you founded Folds of Honor in 2007. You've now sent 29,000 kids to school on scholarship. Over $145 million, and if you had the money, all the money that you would need, what would you need?
So every year, and this is the sad part of Folds, because those are awesome statistics, but the one that you don't share is we'll have about 4,000 qualified families that apply this year that we won't be able to fund. And that's why it is so important for people to, you know, we ask for a minimum of $13 a month to join our squadron. And the great thing, too, when we ask people for money, I'm so proud of our small team in Tulsa that 92 cents of every dollar donated goes directly to fund scholarship programs. So the need is great. We don't want to leave any family behind on the field of battle.
Well, I mean, I just admire your dedication, and you guys have done phenomenal work. We're going to put a link on Hannity.com. We're going to send out social media tweets, et cetera. But you know, I appreciate all that you do. This is a passion of yours. You started it in 07. It's 13 years, incredible success. Your life, your background is inspiring. F-16 fighter pilot, almost 20 years in the military, 2,800 hours of flight time. Well, by the way, how fun is it to fly an F-16? I can't even imagine how cool that is.
It's better than bleep for the radio, so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I don't know. My imagination goes in a lot of places there. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you need to get up. I'm sure the Air Force would love to take you up.
I know, because the pilots try to make all of us stupid people in the media, you try hard to make us puke and don't deny it.
I would never do anything like that.
You're so full of it. That's not true. And I know people that
just have
done
it.
Just have a light lunch. Yeah, maybe I should fast for 5 days. Probably the only way I'd survive. Anyway, I want everybody in this, and take a look at when you go to Folds of Honor, and you can tell people where to go. You have your Patriot GolfDays.com website if you're playing golf this weekend. And you're going to have PGA professionals, you know, former presidents, athletes, celebrities, everybody's participating in it. And where do people go if they want to help if they're not going to play golf?
Yeah, foldsofhonor.org is up running 365 days a year. Consider making a donation. And, Sean, on a personal level, I just want to thank you for your support personally. So you're just not talking about Folds. You are in the fight with us, as so much of the Fox family is. And from one brother to another, I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for all you're doing. I mean, your passion comes through. It's infectious. And you know, for all those people that sacrificed everything for us, we can never repay them. And this is, frankly, you know, a simple way to say thank you and mean it. Appreciate you being with us. Come on anytime, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. We love having you. Thank you.
All right. God bless, and God bless Linda, too, who makes it all happen. See you guys.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to the phones, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program, straight ahead as we continue. All right, you've heard about Tuttle Twins and the creator, children's books. I mean, it's about freedom, real books for kids that work. Now, the founder is a guy by the name of Connor Boyack, and he was instrumental, for example, out in Utah, helping Mike Lee run for Senate in his campaign. And inspired by Mike Lee, well, Connor Boyack created a think tank, Libertas Institute. It promotes free market policy in Utah, and they work with other states as well. Anyway, a few years after starting it, he and his wife noticed after they had kids that they were struggling to find books that would help them as parents to teach conservative values to their children. I think we've all experienced this. So he teamed up with a friend. They published what is the first of the Tuttle Twins books. And guess what the reaction is? Massive bestseller and response from parents looking for their kids to learn about free market, conservative values, the golden rule. And these are books for children, toddlers to teenagers. The Tuttle Twins books, it promotes personal responsibility, entrepreneurship, common sense. And 50% of families that purchase the Tuttle Twins children's books about freedom have children that are homeschooled, and others use it to supplement public schools. Anyway, this day we've set up a website. If you have kids anywhere, again, between toddlers to teenagers, you're going to want to visit this website. You can't get these books anywhere else. I mean, it's nuts. TuttleTwinsHannity.com. TuttleTwinsHannity.com. Do it for your kids and to counter the indoctrination in our school system. All right, back to our busy phones. Julie is in New York. Julie, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
I'm great, Sean. I'm calling not to irritate you, I promise.
Frankly,
I'm beyond irritated with what's been going on with the kids at school. Most importantly, I have a young one who's in first grade at the Shenandoah School District in Clifton Park, New York. They are not allowed to talk while they are eating lunch. They are not allowed to sing. My child has been reprimanded for picking up pencils to be helpful to classmates. And what's even more disturbing, Sean, is that my son has severe allergies. He's developed anxiety because of all of this. And I recently got a note from his pediatrician and sent it over to the school. And they are telling me that it doesn't matter. I have pleaded with them, explaining that.
Okay, can I just stop you for one second? Why won't they let kids talk when they're eating lunch?
That's a good question. That is a very good question. Why won't they let them sing happy birthday when they're already sitting 6 feet apart and can yell out an answer? That's what I'd like to know.
I don't even know where to begin. So your son, you have a doctor's note. That the doctor says that your son has trouble wearing the mask. Am I understanding that part right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And for probably obvious reasons. So, and then they won't accept the note. So what is your alternative?
My alternative is to continue to fight, I guess. I've reached out to the Department of Health. They contacted the school and told them that a note was required, and I provided it. This school nurse had the audacity to then call my pediatrician to try to coerce him into changing the wording to fit their narrative, which I am appalled at. You know, I don't know what else to do. You know, there's other kids in other districts that have this going on. And, you know, I've done all I can. I don't know what else to do. You know, I've reached out to Senator Daphne Jordan, and she has been doing an amazing job. I've reached out to the media. I'm calling you, you know, the newspaper, you know, and people don't want to talk about any of this. And, you know, May is actually Mental Health Awareness Month. And, you know, ironically, my husband, who is a vet, I know you just were talking to Dan, and thank you to him and his service. And he's an adolescent nurse, and he sees firsthand the rise of depression, the rise of suicides, the rise of suicide attempts. And nobody wants to talk about it. You know, I'm so upset. You know, the schools are inflicting unnecessary mental trauma on these kids. And, you know, this is a silent pandemic that's going on. You know, I don't know. They're being robbed. I
can't even think of a time in my career where I'm stumped. I don't even know what to tell you, except maybe hire a lawyer or get the hell out of New York, which, by the way, I don't know if you have the financial means of picking up, moving, what your husband or your career might be, and how you provide for your children. I mean, it's just one of a million reasons to just get the hell out of here.
You know, we're hoping in 6 years, you know, to get out of here. But, you know, I have a friend that's in another school district, and her 11-year-old, who's in fifth grade, has allergies as well. And he was kicked out of school for not wearing a mask. So he's been doing a sit-out outside of his school at Berlin Elementary. He's been outside for 4 days. Nobody wants to listen. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to take. You know, I've emailed Como. You know, I've joined media groups. You know, we're doing what we can. But, you know, and that's the thing is the rates have gone down. These kids are not getting sick. They're not spreading it. But there's been no adjustment to guidelines. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand it. I don't know, you know, and it's just funny how certain districts that have teachers' unions are more ridiculous. I have two older children who are in a union-free school district. They can do all of that. They can talk at lunch. They can sing. They get gym class. They have art. They have music. They even get mask breaks. So I don't know if that's some kind of a coincidence there that, you know, the teachers' unions, I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's heartbreaking. You know, I actually, my oldest is in eighth grade, and she made the varsity volleyball team. That's a big deal. That is a huge deal.
I'm praying for you and your family. I don't know, short of hiring an attorney, what other remedy you may have. And, you know, homeschooling, I guess, I don't even know if that may not even be an option available to you, or getting out of New York. I mean, those are the three things that I can think of. I mean, it sounds like they've made up their mind that they're going to go with, they're not going to follow the science. They're going to be rigid. I mean, think about this. New York is just letting the kids back in school. Meanwhile, Florida has had their kids in school since August. And that's why we're going to do the show tonight. But you're in our thoughts and prayers. I don't know what to say. Unbelievable. All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour on the Sean Hannity Show. We'll get to your calls at the bottom of this half hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. You know, we tried to be fair as it relates to all things coronavirus, COVID-19, because it's been the worst pandemic since, you know, Spanish flu 1917 and 18. A lot of people were saying a lot of things, and they were just dead wrong. All of the models, all of the predictions, all of the early advice ended up being wrong. You know, Fauci, 60 Minutes, March 2020, masks aren't going to work, which evolved into you must wear a mask every 24 hours a day, pretty much. Then two masks, and now leading up to, well, we'll probably have at least a minimum of seasonal masks, driving everybody crazy. You know, the intersection of politics with medicine, as Dr. Oz said at the time, was a disaster. And at the top of this is, you know, Dr. Fauci. Tried to give him the benefit of the doubt for a long time. Now lawmakers are calling for his resignation or firing immediately amid all of the COVID flip-flopping and flailing that he's been involved in. And the NIH, you know, to quote Dr. Marty McCurry of Fox News Medical contributed that they've lost all credibility here. And so many others are saying the same thing. You know, the mixed messaging, for example, if you're vaccinated, why is Joe Biden wearing a mask, fully vaccinated, with his wife fully vaccinated, outdoors and socially distanced into the home of former President Jimmy Carter, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, 96, 93, respectively, and then they take the mask off, no social distancing, on top of each other when they're inside the house with the older people. And then when they leave, fully vaccinated, socially distanced, they put the mask on again. I mean, and then they say, well, conservatives, they are creating vaccine hesitancy. Then we get into this other issue. And that is, you know, okay, the origins of the COVID-19 virus. You know, I didn't know what a wet market was at the beginning of this. We now know what they are, or the Wuhan virology lab where they work with coronaviruses. And if you talked about it a year ago, you were called by every media outlet a conspiracy theorist. Well, it turns out, well, it's the likely origins of coronavirus. We were right from the beginning. You know, and even today, Anthony Fauci, he's dismissing the Wuhan lab leak theory. Now he says, well, it's possible. You know, then he says there's no way to know if the NIH money that was given to the Wuhan virology lab in China, why we would be providing them a penny, I don't know. He said immediately, no, absolutely didn't happen, no gain of function at all. And then he flipped and flopped and flailed on that. I mean, you just, I don't even know. He admits modest funding, denied gain of function. Now he's saying there's no way to know. Listen to him say there's no way to know if the Chinese used NIH money for gain of function. Listen.
You didn't give money to the Wuhan lab to do gain of function research.
That is correct.
And you believe they didn't do gain of function research because they told you they didn't.
We've seen the results of the studies that they conducted. And they were not
including any private studies.
Excuse me? Including
any private studies.
I'm not sure what you're getting at, sir.
Here's what I'm getting at. You gave them money and you said, don't do gain of function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say. And you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us. Because you never know.
Yeah.
Here with us is Brian Tyson, board certified family medicine, 14 years in ER hospital medicine, and Dr. George Fareed back with us. Both of these guys have been on the front lines of dealing with real patients with real difficulties with COVID. And, of course, nobody ever wants to talk to the people that are actually in the trenches, but we do. Thank you both for being back with us. Dr. Fareed, why don't we ask you, explain gain-of-function research so people, I'm a layman. I can't describe it as good as you.
Hi, Sean. Thank you very much again. You've done such a great job in getting out the information that's the truth that is so important. On gain-of-function research is a genetic research or virological research where gene elements like the spike protein particularly are modified in the laboratory genetically to improve the infectivity of the virus. And it's extraordinarily dangerous. And when I started in my career, I was in the dawn of the genetic engineering field, and we had a moratorium on genetic engineering in the United States. I'll never forget that because that was something I was very impassioned by, but I followed it. And they didn't know if this was going to be creating new forms of life at that time. That was a long time ago, Sean. Regardless, this is something Brian and I haven't even thought about because we've been fighting on the front line where Fauci never has come out to see what's going on or to see how people can recover from early treatment. How hundreds of thousands of people needn't have died or needn't, and many more suffered from being on ventilators and recovering from that. But in any case, we've turned our attention fully because we were overwhelmed at a time, and we can talk about that. We know the facts. We've had 6,000 or more patients recovered and saved. And we know that this would have been something to roll out right away in January, February, March if he was taking the right stance, if he brought in people like Peter McCullough and Harvey Reich, others like us, Dr. Zelenko. It would have been totally different. But now in this gain-of-function area and the creation of a variant that may have leaked from that lab, it looks like it's quite possible because of workers being infected or ill with what looked very much like COVID-19 in November and being hospitalized, probably succumbed to it. But in any case, so there now we have to focus on that. That needs to be investigated. And as, and then they need to investigate why early treatment wasn't in, put a, given high priority. And we, Brian and I would never stop contending that that was a tragic mistake that affected the whole world, actually, and, it, and to some extent, it still does. So, but just I'm getting a bit long-winded, Sean. I'm quite impassioned by all of this, and
everybody's
horrible.
Should be. It's horrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me bring in Dr. Tyson. Because Dr. Tyson, I can't even believe this is where we are with this, where now the Senate has to have legislation they're now advancing, banning federal funding for state-run labs in China. A little late for my liking. And what's really worse than that...
Let me, Sean, go through the timeline for you. And this is how you know that they're lying to you. Okay? In 2005, there was an article published on vaccine design for severe acute respiratory syndrome. That's right after 2003 when we had the first SARS virus come out. In 2008, they published the difference in receptor usage between SARS respiratory coronavirus of human origin and the coronavirus of bat origin. Okay, I'm going to come back to that study. In 2013, they came out with the isolation of the characterization of bat SARS coronavirus and the ACE2 receptor that's used in humans for human uptake. In 2015, okay, now they were able to use through recombination the SARS coronavirus with an HIV-like virus to upregulate the ORF8 protein, which is used for immunity enhancement, okay? That's the research that is clearly available online. In the 2008 study, it shows where they started first using the HIV-like insertion, and that was proven just recently by the Indian scientists that showed that the coronavirus was engineered with HIV, quote, AIDS, end quote, like insertions, and that was done by a group of Indian scientists in 2021. So you have clear gain of function published, and all of this is on the NIH PubMed page. You can look up all of these studies. They're all there. It shows clear gain of function, and it shows that clearly that this came from a lab, okay? Horseshoe bats are found 900 kilometers in the southeast portion of China. They're not found anywhere near Wuhan, and where there's no way it would ever, these bats would ever end up in a wet market lab. So it's clear that this came from a lab. The question is, was it leaked out of a lab accidentally or intentionally? And I think that that's where the investigators need to do their job.
We have had, and we had, experiences with coronaviruses before. And it just made a lot of sense, knowing the proximity of, quote, these wet markets. I had no idea. I'm sure you guys, as medical doctors, did. I had no idea what they were, the exotic animals that are sold, and bats, and the connection to coronavirus, et cetera. And then the lab is right there, and you had that incident where... You know, I guess a cave incident where apparently they had discovered earlier viruses. So I guess the question is, you know, we now pretty much know, Dr. Fareed, don't we? And we knew, now that we're the timeline is showing it was in November of 2019 that people were showing up sick from Wuhan, and that China had their own travel ban. You couldn't leave Wuhan province and go to the rest of China. Or go from the rest of China into Wuhan province, but you could leave Wuhan and go to the rest of the world. So there's no doubt that the Chinese government is culpable and that they knew it was a risk because they protected their country and they exposed the entire world.
That's correct. It's shocking. It's tragic, obviously. And these lab workers were ill in November 2019. What Brian presented is a very, very worrisome. I know One of my heroes is Luc Montagnier, the Nobel Prize winner for HIV, and he has come under quite a bit of criticism for suggesting that the COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 is containing HIV sequences. And yet there's no one who's been able to completely refute that, and I think what Brian states is very possible and indicative of gain-of-function research directed at, for some purposes, that backfired horribly. And we don't know this first. I mean, Brian and I are not in this field. We know what we do know. We know that early treatment was missed, and that would have changed everything if it had been used properly. But we're very intently supportive of a good, objective investigation by the Congress and by other bodies that are independent, that are not conflicted on this genetically engineered possibility of gain in virus with the increased functionality for infecting human ACE2 receptors or through ACE2 receptors in the human body. But I think that what you've stated, Sean, is extraordinarily correct, is absolutely correct.
I honestly, I'm angry at a level that is, I can't even describe at all of this. And I once asked Mike Pompeo, I said, if China had come to you and said, we think we have something going on here and we need help, the entire world would have stepped in. And all of this perhaps could have been prevented. I appreciate the work you're doing with people every day. I know you're both committed to saving lives on the front lines of all of COVID from the very beginning. Dr. Brian Tyson, thank you. George Fareed, Dr. Fareed, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, 25 to the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Remember, tonight in Nashville, Tennessee, with the Governors Association, we got a great show. Hope you will join us. Top governors. And this has everything to do with what the future agenda of the GOP is going to be moving forward. Because if they don't get it right, and I know that Peggy Noonan is doing this event, I guess, out at the Reagan Library, and I'm not against Peggy Noonan, you know, a time for choosing. It's obvious what this is going to be about. This is the establishment Republican. She's a never Trumper, and saying that, wow, we're going to, a time for choosing what? Because I know what the agenda is. It's not complicated. The party of liberty, freedom, capitalism, and our Constitution. The party of low taxes, less bureaucracy. The party of law and order and safety and security, school choice, health care, free market solutions that protect pre-existing conditions. Then the party that will secure our borders, make us energy independent again, which Joe Biden has gotten rid of in 4 short months. And the Republican Party should believe that we need the meanest, toughest, badass military on the face of the earth. That's called peace through strength. And then, of course, free and fair trade deals and constitutionalists on the bench. That's the agenda. A time for choosing. That's what I choose. That's what every conservative I know chooses. I don't think there's anybody that just heard me lay that out, and I've been doing it so everybody understands it often. Is that complicated? And basically, they just don't like anything to do with Donald Trump. Anyway, Allie is in Florida next, Sean Hannity Show. Allie, how are you? Glad you called.
I'm good. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. Glad you joined us.
So I am in college, and I'm in a flight program. And unfortunately, most of the students around me are older than me, and they don't understand the concept of socialism. And being a conservative is really hard these days.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't. I actually had a conversation, and of course, being in college, I can't really express my opinions without having to deal with some sort of threat. I had a man talk to me, and I say man because he is far older than me, and say that and he believes that the government should be socialist. But in the same breath, he's in a pilot program with me, said he can't wait till he makes all this money. Now, how does that
make sense? So explain the pilot program. Is this to be, you're in flight school, Is this for commercial airlines, military connections?
Commercial,
okay. And is your, I assume your goal is to fly these big jumbo jets, right?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, by the way, it's a very cool thing. Every pilot I've ever met in my life has dreamed about being a pilot since they were little. Is that the case with you?
Yes, sir.
Amazing. Look, the only thing I'll say is, and I've quoted it all week so far, is that, you know, Rush had a great line. You can't compete with Santa Claus. But if you,
exactly. I
ask people to ask yourself, how have Democrats, how's their promise on Social Security and Medicare worked out? Their promise on keep your doctor plan and save money work out? How do they do with our public schools? How do they do with law and order and safety and security? And if they have failed miserably, as I chronicle that they have on all of those topics, what makes you think that their daycare system is going to be better, their free college is going to be better, their guaranteed job, guaranteed wage, guaranteed healthy government food? What makes them, what gives them the confidence that if we give them more of our money and they confiscate everything, that they're going to run anything efficiently? That's my question to them.
I don't think they understand is the problem, and they truly don't. And being in college and being a conservative is one of the hardest things that I've ever like run into so far in my young adult life. And it's, I can't say anything. I can't speak my mind if I don't want to get any threats or any lash, but they don't understand what they're talking about. They don't understand how true socialism
they don't.
Work.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, right? Look, here's my advice to you. And I've given this advice to many people and even my own kids. Now, you may have you have dreams of being in flight school. I assume you need good grades to continue this path that you're on, this career passion you have, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you need good grades. Now, you have two options. Now, you could speak up and challenge the professor, but you're risking penalizing your grade by doing so. There is as long as you know what you're doing, that you're playing their little game, you can, for this short period of your life, to achieve a dream, you know, there's absolutely, I see nothing wrong with you just remaining quiet, playing the game, regurgitating back all the little socialist talking points that they're teaching you, and get your A, move on to the next class, graduate, and get your dream. I don't think there's
that's what it is.
And, you know, as long as you know and you understand that this is a bunch of crap and it sucks that you have to do it because you're really not being sincere and honest in who you are, but you will be penalized if you don't do it. So you might as well just play the game, become a pilot, and then you can speak your mind. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to go on the loudspeaker and say, please buckle your, you know, please prepare for takeoff, you know, but it's not, I don't see that as a political job in any way anyway. Right.
Right.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 18.
18. Wow. I love that you're dreaming big. I love that you think for yourself. One thing, don't ever change this part. This is my humble, unsolicited advice. Don't ever change. Don't ever let people change how you think to conform to be accepted by those that maybe would look down on your views. Always be yourself. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And I wish you all the best. Update us in a couple of years. Let us know when you're graduating, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Hang in there. Life can be tough. Let us say hi to Robert, who's in Long Island, New York. What's up, Robert? How are you?
Hey, fellow Long Islander, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's happening?
Good. Hey, so I think that it's important that to find the origin of the virus. I think early on it was poor to have dismissed the leak theory. And, of course, in my opinion, I think that Trump was correct in saying, I think it was just far too obvious in the beginning that Trump was correct in saying that it was a lab leak. But my issue is investigations. It seems that there are far too many investigations and a lot of them are inconclusive. Sometimes it almost seems like they're purposely inconclusive. But now with President Biden saying that, you know, it may have come from a lab, is trying to, in my opinion, trying to lend legitimacy to an investigation, which, again, I feel is going to be
Listen, I'm watching what's going on in New York, and it is unbelievable to watch. And that the never-ending investigations into Donald Trump. I mean, and then Joe, quid pro quo Joe, and zero experience Hunter, no investigations. And I look at this, and they're looking at the Trump organization, and you keep reading how they're trying to flip this, you know, CEO or chief financial officer of Trump, and you know, trying to find, well, did he say he was worth this much money on this piece of paper and that much money on another piece of paper? Now, I could just tell you in my life that I have people that I trust and entrust to manage things for me because I don't have the time. I don't know the tax laws. I just instruct them very, very clearly. Pay everything. If there's any doubt, pay it. Because I know that if I don't dot every I and cross every T, that they'd put me in jail. And I advise other people to do the same. We just don't. If you want to change the laws, you gotta go through the process of doing that. You just don't get to decide, oh, taxes are too high, I'm just not going to pay them. Or like Joe Biden, oh, I don't like immigration laws, I'm just going to ignore it. Or states that become sanctuary cities and states, they too aid and abet in lawbreaking. Well, that's fine. If you're a liberal, you get away with anything. But if you're a conservative, they want to put you behind bars for the rest of your life. We've watched that play out, you know, with Papadopoulos, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, and so many others, right? Sad.
I agree. Yeah. And, you know, these investigations, I feel like they are, you know,
political persecutions. That's how I see
it. It's a waste of time and money. And, you know, it just gives me a lack of confidence in our government. I mean, if this is what we're spending our time doing, and I realize that people could do other things at the same time, but still, what a waste of time and money. I feel like it could be better spent both time and money.
They have criminalized political differences. They've weaponized the law to attack people they don't like or disagree with. This is an attempt to prevent Donald Trump from ever running for president again. They've tried everything else. Why wouldn't they try this? I mean, to me, there's a clear and present danger. I take this seriously. You know, you have a grand jury, you know, being convened. What? They want to get Donald Trump under oath? They want to flip his chief financial officer? Or other members, you know, that are out there attacking him? You know, usually what happens if there's a tax discrepancy, you usually pay the difference. That's what most normal people do. But not if you're somebody that represents such a political threat as Donald Trump does to the establishment. In his case, they want him behind bars. It's sad. Well, I mean, we're losing the country if that happens. And I cannot tell you that I believe any more that we have equal application of our laws and equal justice under the law, because I don't believe we do. And that's a sad thing for me to say, or that we haven't criminalized political differences, because we obviously have. Anyway, good call. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN, Atlanta. News Talk, WSB, John, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you called.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Sean. It's good to speak with you again. Look, everything you just laid out a couple of minutes ago is exactly why I called. I'm an independent, so I don't own allegiance to any party. But if the Republicans expect to get anything back, the House, the Senate, the presidency, they better wake up and they better follow exactly what you just laid out, because I'm tired. I'm tired of walking into a voting booth and trying to pick up a turd from the clean end. It's not working. And we are going to lose our country if they don't wake up, grow a pair, get a backbone, and start fighting for this country. I'm tired, man. I'm tired. I'm so exhausted of putting people in that don't follow through.
The reason we had Nigel Farage and Reverend C.L. Speedy Bryant with us yesterday with FreedomWorks, is they're doing this tour. And they're basically telling you, okay, get over it. Pick yourself up, stop, and get involved. It's if people sit on the sidelines, nothing is going to change. And I've been saying the first order of business is ensuring that state legislatures are putting in place integrity in the election process first. Democrats desperately do not want voter ID. There's only one reason I can think of that they don't want voter ID, and that is because they have nefarious intentions. They think what happened in 2020, where partisan observers observing those laws were ignored, and constitutions and states were ignored, and laws were ignored as it relates to voting by mail. You know, we got to change that first. The next thing, that the next step is going to be 2022. And it's a big deal if the Republicans take back the House. It's a bigger deal if they take back the Senate. That both are achievable. We can get there. But it's going to take everybody, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself and life is, yeah, not fair. Dust yourself off and get engaged in the political process. That's what I'm telling everybody. I hope I'm not becoming a broken record. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Nashville tonight for our town hall with governors, Ron DeSantis, Kristi Noem, Bill Leig, Chris Sununu. I mean, we've got a great lineup for you, and it's going to be a town hall. The differences between red states and blue states. We'll hit it all from immigration to taxes. You name it, we'll have it all covered in 2022 and what the agenda should be for conservatism moving forward. In Nashville tonight, Hannity, Music City, with the Governors Association, top governors in the country, 9 Eastern, set your DVR. We'll see you then. Back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.